You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Shot!
So, having a lot of fun today on a fun Friday, but it's a football Friday. Normally, those are reserved for the season, maybe the day after the draft.
Yes.
But Justin is on the fields at Halas. Rookie minicamp gets going. Matt Nagy will be doing it virtually because of contact tracing. But the Bears truly have hope at the quarterback position, and we see how it plays out.
My friend, it feels fresh and new.
It does.
We do know the holes on this football team, but anytime that you have a draft, it rejuvenates a team. You could be the drizzling blanks, terrible team, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like a draft that gives you that fresh coat of paint. So, you know what? We're bad now, but we're going to get better because of these young players. And for the Bears, just having something different at the quarterback position, not just a quarterback, something different at the quarterback position feels fresh and new.
That leads us to a guy who's always fresh. He is Jeff Dickerson. He is our NFL insider, our Bears insider. JD, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Guys, good morning. You know why this is going to be a good day? Because as we've talked about for years, rookie minicamp is only as good as the quarterback play. That's true. I mean, we have seen rookie minicamps. I have covered how many? 15 of these, I guess you could say. And only on certain occasions do you have a quality quarterback with the rookies as a rookie. And when you have a quarterback that's good at rookie minicamp, it makes everybody look better. It makes 7-on-7 look better. It makes all the drills look better. And it's much more enjoyable to watch. So I think with Justin Fields today, I'm pumped up, not just because it's beautiful outside, because we're back at Halas Hall for the first time since, I think, last August, but because I do expect to see a decent practice today because I think the quarterback is pretty good.
My friend, the question mark still remains for me about Nick Foles being on the roster. Do you foresee when we start the season, Foles, Dalton, and Fields all being part of the Bears?
That's what they've talked about. I mean, everything they have said about the quarterback room, Jonathan, they've always found a way to shoehorn in Nick Foles. You know, like he's an add-in, he's a throw-on. But he definitely is in the conversation when they talk about him. Now, he is making a lot of money for a third-string quarterback. The Bears, you know, have a little more wiggle room now that they released Charles Leno. But, I mean, they still are not flush with salary cap space. I could see something happening. But, you know, look, this is important with Justin Fields. They got to figure out a way to develop this guy properly. And if they really feel that, having Nick Foles just there as a third quarterback – along with Andy Dalton, who will be the starter probably week one, if these guys could really help Justin Fields, then I would say, you know what, the money, you have to just eat it and go with it and hope that he can help get this guy developed to the point where he needs to be developed. So I would say right now, he's on the team. That could always change, but they certainly are talking like they expect him to be in that quarterback room this year.
So Tevin Jenkins is coming in, and you're not going to be able to tell about an offensive lineman in rookie minicamp when nobody's hitting anybody and there's no Khalil Mack coming with, you know, evil intent. Is he truly the guy that you believe is starting at left tackle, where he did not have a lot of collegiate experience there, that he is going to be, that's the guy, man. He's protecting the rookie quarterback or Andy Dalton or Nick Foles or whoever from day one.
I mean, Cap, I think they've told you exactly how they feel about Tevin Jenkins by releasing Charles Leno. I think they're telling you exactly how they feel. I think there's a very good chance he'll be the starting left tackle unless he proves that in training camp he can't handle it, which I don't think that would be the case. But, I mean, you don't release both of your starting tackles and then draft a guy in the second round and move up and get him unless you have big plans for him. So, Cap, I would say that's a very good chance. With the Fetty on the right side, Larry Borum, you know, might get a shot, the fifth-round pick out of Missouri. But, Cap, I would say right now, just based on the moves they've made, I'd say the answer to your question is yes.
My friend, are you satisfied with the wide receiver room for the Bears?
I'm never satisfied. You know that.
I understand that. But I have to ask the question, though, because, you know, I'm a journalist. But Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney, it's Friday. I just throw out stuff. Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney are wide receivers that we like. Now, let's take a look at that the rest of that depth chart. What do you think of the depth chart overall for the Bears at wide receiver?
I don't think much of it. Do you? I don't think much of it. I mean,
no, I can't find a third or fourth that I really like.
Let's see what happens with Anthony Miller. He's still on the team as of now. You know, we talked to the coaches the other day on Wednesday. And, you know, they're still talking about competition with him and everything. But, I mean, he has a lot to prove. Not in terms of ability. He's got tons of athleticism. He's a very talented guy. But you can't play someone you can't trust. And I just think he has broken their trust many times, whether it's lining up in the wrong place on the field or, you know, being ejected and being kind of a knucklehead. I mean, can't have this stuff. So, I mean, he is a big question mark. Have you seen anything really from Riley Ridley or Javon Wims that says that screams out these guys are going to have breakout years? No.
No.
They're going to have a chance, though, certainly. But I do worry about that wide receiver room, especially in the future. I mean, Allen Robinson is back on the franchise tag. It's good money for
one year. Who's the kid they signed from? Marquise Goodwin.
He was a baseball player.
They've signed some veteran guys on one-year deals. They're trying. But I just don't feel like there's a lot there that you can get really pumped up about after Robinson. And Darnell Mooney was a nice player as a rookie. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't a Pro Bowl player, but he was a nice player. So I think wide receiver is one of those where they've done their best. They've brought in some veterans on one-year deals. They've got Robinson. They've got Mooney. See what happens with Wims, Ridley, maybe Miller, and just hope that it works out. I think that's probably where they're thinking.
Why don't the Bears do the due diligence? And remember when George talked to Waddle and Sylvie? His strongest comment was it about Javon Wims? Or was it about Anthony Miller getting into the
– It was about Anthony Miller.
Well, no. When they asked him – what gives him faith that this is going down the right path in terms of player evaluations? He said Darnell Mooney. That was the first name he mentioned. We're like, ooh.
No. Then he said about Anthony Miller not being back here. He was warned that that kid was a punk, He still violated it. And, you know, I'm not sure he'll be back with us, was what George said.
No. The question, you know what? The question was, what upsets you more? Javon Wims dropping the wide-open touchdown or Anthony Miller being ejected?
Right.
I believe his comment was Anthony Miller being ejected. That was the context of that question.
That's why I'm like, is Miller still on the team? And Javon Wims still on this team too?
They're on the team as of right now. A lot can change between now and when training camp begins. Yes, they're on the team right now. Again, they're trying at wide receiver. They've tried to add some bodies, but what they really need is some of these returning players to really step up and have big years and click with either Dalton or Justin Fields.
So
I don't like it.
Okay, you answered my question about Tevin Jenkins. The interior of the offensive line, like there's this narrative, the Bears offensive line sucks. Well, getting James Daniels back, Cody Whitehair, Bars, Mustafa. Like I'm, from my seat, I'm good with the interior. Effetti was much better at right tackle than he was when he was playing at a guard spot. And then Tevin Jenkins. So do you feel like the offensive line, without injury, can be actually a strength?
Depending on the tackles, yeah. But I think, Captain, I think they showed you, again, to go back about what, you know, they showed you how they felt about Tevin Jenkins. I think they showed you how they felt about the interior of the offensive line because there weren't a lot of moves made this offseason there. They feel good about the names you mentioned, and you let them all compete, and the best players, you know, rise to the top. I mean, Whitehair will be one of those guys, obviously, because of the contract. Mm-hmm. I think James Daniels, Cap, has a lot to prove as a former second-round pick, don't you?
Yeah, Olin tells me he's the best lineman that they have, and he thinks he can be an all-pro.
Okay, well, I mean, that's certainly a great vantage point from a great former player. I hope so. I think he has to prove that. But, no, I do think the interior of the line last year played pretty well. I mean, much better than the tackles did. So I could see why they were content to stick with that group and let them compete.
My friend, we have not talked to you about the schedule. You know, after the first four, in which I think the Bears, you know, first blush, I think they can go 3-1. But there is this a lot of strong teams that the Bears have to face right into the bye. What do you think of the ebb and flow of the schedule for the Bears?
So it is I'm trying to remember from the story I had to write. I think they are the third or fourth toughest schedule in terms of strength of schedule.
That's what you wrote, yes.
Hey, listen, it's a tough one. But, again, you say that now, and we're only basing that off of last year's performances because you never know. Teams could, you know, a team could be great one year. Seattle could be great one year, and then the next year they struggle. You know, the Raiders, same thing. They could be good one year. Next year they struggle. I think it's a very difficult schedule, and I think that what's going to have to happen is they're going to have to take care of business in the North. really they are. I mean, because I don't feel great about a lot of these non-divisional games that they have to play. But this is the beauty of the chaos in Green Bay right now. And if that could somehow work out in the Bears' favor, you've got the very mediocre Vikings with their very mediocre Kirk Cousins. And then you have the Lions who are, you know, the Lions. So, I mean, I think division-wise, I feel as good about the Bears in the North that I have in a long time. But in terms of the other games, yeah, the non-divisional games, the non-conference games, it's a very difficult schedule. There's a lot of landmines.
And
on
you
that
picked
schedule,
their record to be what today?
We didn't have to pick the record, Cap. We were given a free pass. We were not told to pick the record. Can you believe that?
If you did, where are you at? 12-5, 13-4?
Yeah. No, I'm not going there. I mean, if I had to, I guess I would probably give you maybe a strong 9-8. Maybe a 10-7. You could convince me 10-7.
Yeah, that's where I was. 10-7, 11-6 if they had great health.
So
yeah.
I said 8-9, but I don't know what's happening in Green Bay.
Right.
You tell me what happened in Green Bay, I can tell you better what I think the record will be. And actually, Cap, after our conversation when the schedule came out, I'm starting to soften on the Vegas game now. I think the Bears could probably win that game.
They can.
They
no can.
Question. I mean, they look bad against them in London.
Dude, that guy's 19-29. He's the biggest fraud in the NFL. His name is John Gruden. Oh,
he's making $10 million a year. How about
that's
that?
That's true.
And, I mean, there were rumors that Mayock was going to be on the outs, but that didn't happen. So, I mean, yeah, that's a very – unless they, you know, go out with us the night before, unless, you know, the Bears players find their beat reporters in Vegas, if we travel, we hope we travel, I think that's a game they could certainly win, no doubt about it.
Yeah, Weedor says he's got half of his bookings taken care of. So you better hurry up.
But here's the problem, though. We have not been given the green light to book any travel. I can't. I mean, you know I would have been on the phone with the Aria like that, right?
Yeah, I know.
The penthouse. I got my corporate card, penthouse. I would have been there. But we have not been told yet whether or not we can travel. So we're very hopeful that locker rooms will be open post-game in stadiums. That will be how we travel. But if everything is virtual, you and I might be at the Horseshoe, Jonathan, that weekend.
By the time they let you book, you'll be at like the Red Roof in Henderson, Nevada.
That's okay. There's always rooms at the Luxor. That's a real dumpy place. I could always get a room in the Pyramid if I have to.
We are circling the date. The cap is for sure. We're not breaking yet. Put your hands down. September, or rather August 21st.
This guy.
Yeah, we're not breaking yet because I'm going to get this line in. Saturday, August 21st, Cap, Bears, Buffalo, Fields, Trubisky. Here we go. Soldier Field.
We should be back. We're doing the first month of shows from Buffalo. From Bill's camp.
We're doing Ditka and going to Ditka's camp for New Orleans. We're doing that bit.
Talk to the trainer.
We're live at Saints camp. Here comes Ditka.
Here comes Danny Abramowitz.
What the hell are you guys doing here? What are you guys doing? We're here to see you, coach. That's what Cap's here for. We're going to Orchard Park. We're going to cover Trubisky and follow him everywhere he goes.
Exactly.
You're my guy. What are you doing here? We're here for you. Take that.
I'm a backup now.
Take that. That's going to be great.
Brutal.
I told Kemp, I said, that's the way you do it. We follow Mitch wherever he goes. We go to training camp and where the Bills are. That's how we do it.
Next year, it'll be Jacksonville for his one-year contract to be Trevor Lawrence's third-string quarterback.
We're live. How about that?
Take that. What are you guys doing in Atlanta? He's the third string to Matt Ryan.
He's going to get cut. What are you guys doing? He's not even going to make the team.
You're my guy.
Hey, have a great day, JD.
Hey, great talking to both you guys.
All right. You're the best. There he is, the great Jeff Dickerson.
Take it.
Cats have superpowers. I don't like cats, but they do have superpowers. We'll talk about it. You got to hear this next. Take that.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Hey, for the game changers, there's Granger at Wrigley Field. The Cubs count on Granger for safety and inventory management solutions, products, and much more. Granger helps the team stay focused on the work that matters most, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Granger can do the same for you, too. Give on the safety and industrial products to get the job done, all backed by their awesome 24/7 customer service team and free technical support. Call clickgranger.com, or just stop by, John. Granger, official partner of the Chicago Cubs and Wrigley Field.
Cap. J-Hook.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So, cats have superpowers.
Yes.
You sent Danny a video. I had seen the article in the newspaper and pointed it out to you, and you'd already sent it to Danny.
Yeah, how's the video in the paper today?
You didn't include me on your little video email or whatever it was you sent, but the...
Oh, no.
But Weider's the most sensitive man alive.
So, I didn't say I'm offended by it. I got to see it. I was on top of the story. So, this cat is in an apartment building. I believe it's in Inglewood, correct? Yes, in Inglewood.
Yes, sir.
On South Low Avenue, 6500 block.
Yep, been there.
The fire is contained. By the way, that's the same street that Mayor Daley used to live on. Low.
But not 65th, though.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Like 30-something.
City of Chicago.
Yeah.
You looking around?
Yeah. No shot. Anyway. Anyway, so this fire was limited to pretty much one of the apartments.
Mm-hmm.
It spread a little of the walls, but this one apartment is, I mean, ablaze.
Right.
Windows are blowing out, smoke pouring out of it. People are looking up, oh, God, what's going on? And out of nowhere, they see a cat come to the window. His apartment is on fire. And he's looking, and he's looking, and he's looking around, and there's video of it, and there's a picture in the Sun-Times mid-jump, and finally the cat looked and went, I ain't burning to death. I'm out of here. I'm out.
Meow God.
From the fifth floor.
Look at JR.
From the fifth floor, this cat not only jumps, but there's a retaining wall, like... around the building?
Yes.
This cat leaps from the burning apartment, clears the retaining wall by, what, a foot?
Yeah.
Bounces hard off the grass, looks around, limps for a second, goes over by the car, kind of checks himself, goes, I'm out! Takes off.
Brother,
he's fine.
Let me tell you something.
They checked the cat. They caught him. He's fine.
It's the city. It's Inglewood. It's about survival. Like, I ain't getting burnt up in here. Meow God! Meow God! He got out of there.
Right. You see how he bounced when he hit the ground?
Man, look. Now, the question is, what other animal could do that and be unscathed? Now, that,
unscathed?
Now, that cat's walking around, you know, around the old, you know, Kennedy King College. He's walking around hosted like, man, my building burned up. I'm homeless. Like, he's right now, he's just chilling, right? He's just like, I'm just trying to look for some food right now.
Thank God it's not the winter.
Man, thank goodness, man. You know, he's walking around just like looking at his fur. Just like, man, I'm alive. Take that.
Can I get...
he's happy right now. He's like...
Can I get some Purina? Something?
Man, somebody take me in. Man, my... How did he do that?
You got to go to the video. Look up cat jumps on the fifth floor of the Inglewood building. And there's a fire vehicle there, like the chief would drive, like a big Explorer, Ford Explorer.
He's sitting there looking at him.
Sirens on it. And he lands just short of crashing into the car, but he clears the retaining wall.
So what other animal can do that? That's the question. Like, outside of a cat, like a dog, it'd be over, right? That's over.
Dead.
Like, on impact, done.
Gone. Broken legs, done.
So what else? Like, what other cat could, what other animal could do that and be unscathed?
So this is scary. There's something called, I've been Googling this. Googling this all morning since you sent me this video. There's something called terminal velocity. And I can't really explain it because I'm not good at physics, but basically that's like...
Old WWE pay-per-view.
When you're flying so fast that the force of impact is going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
There are three species alive that can survive terminal velocity. Rats, mice, spiders. Mm. They can fall at any speed from anywhere and survive.
Rat. If a rat got out of that window, would the rat survive? You say the rat would survive.
According to Google, rats, mice, spiders are 100% surviving. Then cats are the biggest of the animals that can survive that kind of jump. But there is a certain velocity that would kill a cat. Like, they can't survive from anything. You can't drop a cat from an airplane. It would survive, but a rat would.
Well, wait a minute. Have we tried the cat out of the airplane? Have we tried that?
I'm going to find video of it.
Oh, don't do that. If you do, if you see it, please
don't want to see it.
Please don't see it. I mean, it's enough to see this black cat.
Danny, you've booked huge name guests in your career. Can you get Neil deGrasse Tyson in the next 1 minute and get him on the show?
He can't tell you about pets.
He can talk about terminal velocity. Danny tells me the guy's brilliant. He knows everything.
Yes, he knows everything.
Like, and the amazing part of this video, like, you see, like, a momentary right before the cat jumps, like a little shadow.
Yes.
At the window, and it's him. And see where he is? Like, there he goes. Like, you see his paws on the end, like, F this, I ain't burning to death.
Oh, man.
This is falling rats. I'm showing you boys falling rats.
I don't want to see that.
Not today.
Not today. Not today. Not up in here.
Devil's a lie. I'm out of here. I like it, man. I like that you just like, I'm not burning up in here.
Dude, where are you going? I got 9 lives. I'm using one right now.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, that's what you want, right? If you know you have 9 lives, it's like, I'm not. Well, you know what? If I fall out of this window, if I jump out, I'm still going to be alive. I'm using one. I'll use this one.
I'm out. See ya.
I mean, but the bounce as he hits the turf there.
Oh, no!
That is full Jimmy Superfly Snooker from the top rope is what that is.
It's just like, he's like, you know what? YOLO. I'm out of here. Seriously.
If I'm going, I ain't going burning up.
A cat's terminal velocity is 60 miles an hour. They can survive a fall where they reach speeds of 60 miles an hour.
So it begs the question about cats and dogs, right? I am not a cat person and neither is Cap. But there is something to that, though, Danny, isn't it? That a cat could be able to do that? You know, if that's your dog, it's over.
Oh, done.
It's all over.
Oh, yeah. That dog, like, this is the first time in life where I said to myself, I'd rather be a cat than a dog.
Now, what about a bird in that spot? Bird will be a fly out window.
I mean...
What about a bird, JR? They'll be able to fly out, right? They'd go through the smoke, especially if it's an open window. We're seeing 3 or 4 broken, you know, windows in this building here on 65th and Low.
I mean, it's just literally amazing. Not only that he comes to the window and his little paws are out, like, on the ledge, and then he decides, F this!
Yes. We have got to
put this out.
Brother
ain't burning up!
Nah, I'm out of here.
Holy smokes.
His cat friend said, man, aren't you supposed to be at home?
Man, my house burned up, man.
How'd you get out of there? Jumped out the window. Oh, so you used one of them. Yep.
That's it.
Down to 5. I'm down to 5 lives now. But you know what? I used one. It's like, oh, thank goodness you're okay. Sorry, man. So where do we get some food? I got to find some food.
And where can I sleep till? Can I crash at your place?
Is there an empty garbage can? That, you know, there's one that's not used. Gotta make sure I get some rest tonight.
That's a rough day.
It's a rough fall, man. How you feeling? Arms not working really well. not doing very well. How's your paws, man? No, it was good. It was grass. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
A little
baby.
Burned up.
Yeah,
fucked up.
I'm a little charred, baby, but I'm all right. It's like a little smoky, but I feel all right. I'm all right though.
Gotta get this fur clean.
Oof.
Got a shower.
Y'all got a little square?
You need a smoke after that? You just came from smoke. What are you doing, cat? Man, just bad day, man. Tough.
Oh, my God.
Man, I'm just telling you.
All right.
Hold on. Before you break,
I found
a story. A scientist was testing how far cats could fall. He successfully dropped cats from 246 feet, 9 of 10 of them survived. 246 feet. You know how high that is?
Wow.
9 out of 10 of them survived.
And just got on their feet and were like, I'm good. And just walked away from it.
Well, that was a hell of a ride. I'm good.
Man, I'm down to 3 lives, but I'm good, baby. I'm good. Points to the ceiling. Points to the sky. Cat, why are you pointing to the sky? I'm here, baby. I'm here.
I'm alive.
Double point, like he's Sosa.
Wow.
Like, what in the world?
Holy smokes. Anyway.
Indeed.
Friday Folder. Next.
Take that.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
The Friday Folder is brought to you by the wonderful people at ABT, Apt in Glenview. You need it, they've got it. My guy Steve Shapiro on the case every day there. It's awesome.
Well, it's time to break down the fourth wall. We turn now to Danny Zetterman to tell us what's going on in our studio. Danny?
Guys, the Friday Folder, as you know, is a compilation of stories throughout the week that we didn't have a chance to get to or other stories that I find very interesting that I want to get your guys' opinion on. On a Friday at about 9:35 on a normal computer desktop, I'll have open about 25 different tabs with about 25 different stories for the folder. I'm all set. I put them in order of importance that I want to get you guys to discuss. Well, as we were in this last commercial break, my computer completely shut down just out of nowhere, went black, turned off, and is having a hard... Well, you can see the screen, Hoodie, in front of you. I can't say it went green.
Well, you could say it's off. You didn't have to give the color.
And here's now sound of Danny's actual reaction when that happened.
Wow. Well, now we don't have the story. Well, we'll do our own Friday folder.
No, I've got some.
Because I have one that we found out this morning that Hoodie and I were just talking about at break. You want me to start there?
No, I'm going
to
start. Thank you.
Let's have the open then.
We're going to do the folder.
All right, here we go. Tom Wall's favorite thing.
Yep. It's time for the Friday folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
The Friday folder brought to you by Apt. Steve Shapiro, my guy.
Can Steve get us a new computer?
Yes, he can. Right?
Yes, he can. They have an Apple store there, and they have a regular PC store in there.
All right, Danny, let's see the remnants of the folder that you could find.
Guys, this will all be off memory. The Cubs and the White Sox are cleared for 60% fan capacity beginning late May. They're going to have a vaccinated-only section as well.
So people will bring their cards? Is that what's going to happen?
To be in the vaccinated section, you must show proof of vaccination, your card, your ID, everything.
Oh, that's cool. I'm glad. And maybe by July 4th, we'll have 100% capacity?
That's what we're hearing. We're hearing President Biden is saying, I want 70% of America vaccinated by July 4th, and I want our country back open.
Yes. Restaurants, ball games, everything.
Everything.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, that's a positive in the right direction. As Cap just told us this week, it was great to be back at the ballpark again for the first time in a while.
So first, you and I have done games. Like, yeah. I was at Valpo this year, Illinois State, Bradley. You were covering UIC. I was sitting there as a fan with my son going, this is awesome. Yeah, it was chilly. Guess what? I'm in a stadium.
All right, Danny.
Gentlemen, ex-Chicago Blackhawks player sues the team for an alleged sexual assault by a former assistant coach. This former player was part of the 2010 Stanley Cup championship team.
But they did not reveal his name.
They call him John Doe in the report.
Correct.
We saw the court report here, the affidavit here, the complaint at law from Cook County. And, you know, you opened my eyes to something, Cap, that I wasn't realizing. I didn't realize the sexual assault being somewhat prevalent in the National Hockey League,
especially
on certain levels.
Especially in youth junior hockey coming up, there's been a couple of horrific, horrific cases. And I remember in studio, hey, do you want to interview Theo Fleury? Remember, he was like 5'4", 5'5", and an all-star. And I said, I guess if that's what you guys want us to do. They said, he's got a book coming out. He was molested as a child coming up through youth hockey, and he'd had, I believe, a drinking problem that he attributed to the horrific abuse he dealt with, and he came in. It's one of the most intense, gut-wrenching interviews. He bared his soul, man. It was, whoa. And then you hear this story. Wow.
That's an amazing story. You check that out. Tribune, sometimes they're talking about it, and you can see the negligence, fraudulent, concealment, all the stuff that's
in the
there
industry.
Listed.
Yeah, yeah, it's
crazy. You can see it all right here.
Crazy. Danny.
Gentlemen, the Basketball Hall and Frame enshrinement for the class of 2020 will take place tomorrow, Saturday. Among those being inducted, Kobe Bryant, who's going to be inducted by Michael Jordan, Tamika Catchings, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Rudy Tomjanovich.
That's a great class. Who's the main event there? Kobe, and then before that, who after Kobe, who's the next guy?
So it's Kevin Garnett, Kobe, who did you say?
Tim Duncan. Those are the big three.
Tamika Catchings.
She was from Lincolnshire. Her dad, Harvey Catchings, played in the league.
Former Bulls broadcaster, Harvey Catchings.
Yeah. Correct. Obviously, Kobe, if Kobe had not tragically passed in the helicopter accident, he'd still get top billing.
Sure.
Tim Duncan, gotta be... KG?
KG's got a lot to say.
A lot.
KG's getting presented by Isaiah Thomas.
I can't wait to see KG's or hear KG's speech.
So you
speech.
Know everything that is said when they induct KG's going to be BS.
No, it will not.
KG's awesome. I'm a huge Kevin
I love KG. I'm talking about the guy that's given the speech before.
Isaiah? Shout out Isaiah.
I would like to really, if we ever get him back on.
Isaiah?
Yeah. I would really like to ask him this question. Isaiah.
Why did you ruin the Raptors?
No.
Why did you ruin the CBA?
No.
Why did you ruin the Knicks?
No. I really want to go.
Why are you such a scumbag?
Isaiah.
Hey!
Isaiah, I saw you play in high school at St. Joe.
Yeah.
Class of 80 or 79. What is it like to come back to a city where you were beloved at St. Joe, revered at Indiana, and you are despised by every Bulls fan?
You know what he'd tell you? He's good with it because he still comes in the community and does a lot of good things.
I'm not questioning
that. I'm sure that would be his answer.
But if you left and became this mega star somewhere and came back to your hometown, I'm a Chicago guy from the South Side. I'm Bob and May Hood's kid. Yep. I'm Aisha's brother. Everybody hates you.
Well. And that'd be called Kanye West. Go ahead, Danny.
Gentlemen, while we're talking basketball and Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan refuses to erase the final text messages he received from Kobe Bryant. Quote, I just can't delete them.
I understand. How many people have passed away in your phone?
A lot.
I have like five or six that I've still not taken the messages or the contact out of my phone.
Yep. Same here. Here.
Sports figures, family, whatever. I still have not done that just as of yet. So you can understand, right? You can understand because when you go through L, M, and you get to the K's, you're like, ah, Kobe. It just gives you that refresher. Like, ah, there you was, Kobe, our last conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
I'm giving you dual headlines for this next story. Tom Brady's return to New England is the most expensive regular season ticket ever. Also, Tom Brady is expected to break the career passing yardage record during that game.
Oh, boy, that's a double doozy there. He's already the greatest, but he's still adding on to his legacy with numbers like that he's going to surpass. Pretty cool.
Really cool.
Yeah.
And the fact that his dad called in on the Sports Hub in Boston yesterday, in fact, if we have time, we'll try and squeeze that in. He called in. I'm going to squeeze it in. Screw it. I'm playing it right now. This is Tom Brady Sr. calling in on the Zolak. Remember Scott Zolak,
yep,
the quarterback, and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub, on the Bucks-Patriots game.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So it's a pretty fun time.
Wow. So, I mean, hey, you got Cowboys on that opening night? And then I think it's Atlanta. Then you got a tough West Coast trip against the Rams. And that's going to be a short week for your guy there to get ready. But you still think it's 4-0 coming out of the gate?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'd be. Yeah, I actually, you know, they're all tough.
Yeah.
You look at them and there are no walkovers. But, you know, coming back home to Boston, you know, it's our second home here. And the Patriots are our second favorite team. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, and but we our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers, and so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily. Frankly.
Rather handily. Loved it.
Danny?
Gentlemen, Padres fan knocks out Rocky supporter with one violent punch.
Oh, God. You got a second view I hadn't seen that you showed me today.
Mm-hmm.
That guy should go to jail. Guy said, reportedly, Padres suck. And he walks over, doesn't even engage in conversation. One punch. The guy kind of leaned to the left, down, out, cold.
Yes.
And then a bunch of fans jumped on him.
That's right. That's how it works. I've seen that at Sox games and Cubs games myself. I know what that looks like. But the one punch, you know what? Here's the thing. Don't run your mouth. Don't tell me my Padres. Like, you guys were wearing a Padres jersey. It's like, oh, you want to talk about Padres? How about this? This is for Steve Garvey.
Bam! Take that.
This is for Gwen.
Daniel.
Gentlemen, Jay-Z, the Foo Fighters, Tina Turner, Carole King, the Go-Go's, Todd Rundgren, amongst those being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
We turn to J.R. Strauss. Who got screwed in this spot?
Iron Maiden.
How are they not already in?
Don't ask me. Back to you.
All right. Do you like the list? I know we went through the list of Hall of Famers. I'm thinking now. My thought is that it's too full. It's too many good attractions. Too many good bands or acts. I mean, so who ends that? So we say Kobe's going to end the Basketball Hall of Fame. That'll be the main event, right?
Correct.
What about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? How is that not Tina Turner? But Jay-Z's in it, right? So, I mean, that's tough, right?
I can't answer for their choices. I can't. I won't defend them.
I'm just wondering, if you're putting the card together, who's last?
Todd Rundgren?
No, that's first. You get him out of the way.
Oh, who's last to be introduced?
Yeah.
I thought you meant last on the list.
Last in the card.
Yeah, Todd, will be last.
Todd Rundgren is here. Take your award and go.
The Foo Fighters will be last, I think, for two reasons. The first one is Dave Grohl now is going to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the second time. That's a short list of people to do that. Also, Dave Grohl's like one of the prominent figureheads on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame committee. So I feel like you know how that works. Friends take care of friends.
So if I'm in the audience, I can leave early then.
If you're not a Foo Fighters guy, yeah.
I mean, to me, the legacy of Tina Turner with Ike and then her by herself tells me that she should be the main event. But then, again, Jay-Z's there. He's going in the same class. And who else? Who else, JR? Like, give me the rest of those.
I heard Carole King's name was on there, Danny.
Carole King.
That's
yeah,
early.
She's...
That's early in the card. All right. Carole King.
Yeah. Tapestry. That was a boring album.
Stop it. She's an incredible songwriter, too.
I didn't say she wasn't, JR. That song, that album, Tapestry? Snooze fest.
Okay, Cap.
Let John Hamm listen to it.
So, I mean, wouldn't you want Jay-Z? For you, Danny, Jay-Z last, right?
Jay-Z's last for me.
The main event of the card.
Yes. For me, Foo Fighters second to last, Jay-Z last.
I would go Foo Fighters last, Jay-Z second to last.
So what's Tina going to be in the middle? I mean, the legacy of Tina Turner.
Pretty good, too. I think she's really ill. If she could perform, I think that changes this.
Maybe.
Two movies about her life. Not one, two.
But she's already in with Ike, correct? For their...
Correct.
Yes. She's like Dave Grohl going in for the second time.
Correct.
Dave Grohl, what Grohl's doing is amazing. Twice. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, I saw him at Wrigley. That show was
He'd only
incredible.
Be in there once if he didn't kill Kurt Cobain.
All right, get out of there, Danny.
All right, we got time for one more. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I love this story. For Mother's Day, Kim Kardashian decided to rescue a cow. The cow's name is now Kim Kardashian.
Thank you very
much. Oh, my goodness. All right. Wow. We finally got our Kim Kardashian question from Danny.
Got quite a rump roast.
That's outstanding.
All right, Jim Miller gives us the Preakness picks. That's next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Jim Miller is the guru at Hawthorne. He books the fields, he makes all the handicapping selections, and he's a wonderful guy as well. Sounds like his Little League team could have used him on the mound yesterday when they lost to Deerfield. Hey, Jim, how you doing, man?
Man, I'll tell you, good for Merck's kid. Merck's kid threw really well yesterday. So, hey, give him some credit. Yes, they did play well. They beat us. But you know what? We get a rematch, my friend, in a couple of weeks. So we'll see if we can turn the tables on them.
All right, so let's talk about Medina Spirit. Do you believe that this is much ado about nothing? Is this horrible for the industry?
That's not great for the industry by any means. I don't think it's much ado about nothing either. I mean, the problem is the story from Bob Baffert changed three times in 3 days. Went from the horse has never been treated with this to a groom may have relieved himself in the stall to this horse has been treated for a skin condition. So it makes everybody question things a little bit. Was it performance enhancing? I don't know if that level is really performance enhancing in a racehorse or not. But it does leave you with some questions coming out of the Derby, for sure.
I just thought it was interesting, Jim, to see, you know, Baffert was so incredulous. Like, I can't believe this little horse won. Like, it was baffling to him that it actually.
Yeah.
So now, what do you think? What are the chances that this horse can get it done, Medina Spirit?
Well, you're right, Hoodie. I mean, Medina Spirit was Baffert's number three horse. I mean, Life is Good was his top horse on the Derby trail, and then that horse got injured. Then Concert Tour was the horse that skipped the Derby, who I think is still better than Medina Spirit. And Medina Spirit ran a great race in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, it was a day where speed held the entire day over that Churchill Downs strip. The horse did run well, but now it finds itself in a spot in the Preakness where there is very little early speed. So there's no reason to think this horse at least won't be a factor again tomorrow.
So is this because they have tighter turns, and that's what everybody worries about, you know, when they have a horse that people expect a lot from? How do you think that this race plays out?
You know, looking at the field, it's a 10-horse field. It's not a great field, Cap, by any means. There's only really three horses that can show speed, one of those being Medina Spirit, the other being Concert Tour, who is the other Baffert horse, and then Midnight Bourbon, a horse that I know Yurko liked going into the Derby, and that's a horse that really had the trouble trip of the three in the Kentucky Derby. Now, the question for Bob Baffert is when you have two horses with very similar running styles, you don't really want them to go out there and ding-dong each other on the lead. So I'll be curious to see what the strategy is, which horse goes, which horse tends to rate back. I think they're going to send Medina Spirit on the lead. Mike Smith's a very patient jock. He rides Concert Tour. I think he sits behind the pace there. The wild card really is Midnight Bourbon. I think if that horse gets away in good order, that's a horse that could be a factor throughout, maybe just throw a little bit of a wrench in Baffert's plans.
James, how's the track? How's the weather in Baltimore?
You know what? Everything I think is going to be okay for the weekend. That's what we really kind of have to watch is if you're going to get anything weather-wise in regards to rain and that. But looking up and down the field, that really is kind of the question because you look at this field, nobody has run really on any type of a wet surface aside from Medina Spirit, who ran on a good surface at Santa Anita back in January. I don't think it's going to affect the field. If anything, if you get rain, it's going to help those horses that can show speed even more.
Okay, so who do people are listening? They're like, I'm going to bet the race. Who should they bet?
You know what, to me, I think you play a three-horse exacta box. I think you box Medina Spirit. I think you use Midnight Bourbon and Concert Tour. And when you bet a $1 three-horse exacta box, it only costs you $6. Two of the three just have to run 1-2. But I do think this is going to be a merry-go-round race. I think the speed horses are going to follow each other around, and it's just a matter of who emerges on top.
Hey, man, people can go out to Hawthorne, sign up for the Club Hawthorne app online. Just download the app. They can also get the PointsBet Sportsbook app, and they can hang out at